Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no, everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you. I want to welcome all of my brothers and sisters tonight. Mahalo for tuning in to Free Inside Ministry. I'd like to give a shout out to the Berean and Friday Chapel Boys at Halava and all of the 200 plus brothers that were in our praise concert Saturday night up at Halava Gym. Bless all of you, my brothers. To the Waiava Boys and Module 10 Cashbox Program, we're going to come see you on Wednesday. We didn't make it last week Wednesday, but we will be there on Wednesday this week. To my FDC faithfuls, you know who you are. To the 24 brothers that we ministered to yesterday. I tell you, when men sing, and I call it sing from the gut, that's just like hearing the angels sing. Keep up the faith, my brothers. OCCC, shout out to Module 18 from Saturday. Good to see you guys. And a special shout out to Module 11 and Brother Dave. Keep up the good work. Keep that Bible study going. I'm going to try and get in there this Saturday. Couldn't get in there last Saturday. But I'm going to try and get in there this Saturday about 1:30 p.m. to come see you guys. Annex 1, I apologize, we miss you guys, but we were in Halava doing the concert last Saturday, so I'm going to get back there this weekend also. And to the women in Module 3 and 4, I hope that we will have gotten to see you tonight, Monday evening, when we come in to visit you. And last but not least, I want to send a shout out to the women at WCCC. We will see you this Saturday at Manawili Chapel. God has answered the prayers to allow us to finally get in there. And we have to remember, it's not in our time, but in His time, that thine will be done. We're so excited. Hope to see Audrey and her crew out there. But we'll be in the chapel. Sister Lynn and I will be the first ones there and get a lay of the land. But we're looking so forward to spending some time and ministering with you and catching up with you and see how things are going. This past Sunday, my wife and I were so blessed to attend New Hope Kapolei services with Pastor Glenn and his lovely bride, Rika, and all of their hardworking saints they have out there. It was nice to see Chandra and everyone else. You know, God is doing a mighty thing out there at Kapolei, at New Hope Kapolei, and they are right in the middle of everything. It's such a developing community. Praise God and mahalo for your grace, Pastor Glenn. We just wish you the best and continue the work that you're doing out there. And it's been so long. I remember when you were courting Rika. And, you know, it was just a lovely time. Her hair is a lot shorter. Well, her hair is shorter and I don't have hair. So I guess that's the passage of time. But just a real blessing to come out there and share some quality time with you guys. And we're praying for you and we wish you all the best. Free Inside Ministry is our prison ministry that has a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the broken, the lost, and the incarcerated, and to preach the gospel to every person. You know, we share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those that are incarcerated in Halava, Waiava, OCCC, FDC, and starting this week Thursday, we're going to be in the Women's Correctional Facility in Kailua. But we also minister to our brothers that are in Saguaro, Arizona, and we'll be heading there in May. So once again, mahalo to all those who have joined us this evening. Feel free when you have a chance or an opportunity to check out our website, www.freeinsideministry.org. You can find all of our radio broadcast programs and you can listen to them at your convenience or you can actually download them through iTunes. We also have a Facebook page with the same name, Free Inside Ministry, and we do have an email account, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. If you have a chance, drop me a line. Tell me aloha. How's it? Send me a suggestion of, or let me know how this program has touched maybe you or touched someone you know that's incarcerated or anyone in your hana or your circle of influence. Has this program been positive? Has it been encouraging? Has it lifted your spirits? Our anchor verse for the Free Inside Ministry is, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future." And he goes on to say in verses 12 to 14, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where things just don't seem right? You know, you get that kind of hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit, or sometimes when you're in an unfamiliar place, or maybe sometimes the people that are around you, they don't look like the regulars, you know, or maybe you're the one who's out of place and you're standing out, you know. Either way, you know that feeling you have inside where you kind of have your what's up radar start going off, you know, it's like, what's up with this? And you're very cautious in everything that you say and do. It's kind of like, you remember the first day in high school where, before now, in 8th grade, you might have been the bull, huh? Because 8th grade, 7th, 8th graders, you're the 8th grader. You the man or the woman or whatever, the titter, you know, what have you. We want to be politically correct here on my radio program. But now you're moving from 8th grade to high school. And so you're not the bull anymore. Hey, get guys running around, they will get full beards. You know, they look like man-childs running around. So you're not the significant one. You're not the one in control. You're not the one who calls the shots. It's a time where something's a little bit amiss, where something's a little different, where there's something that doesn't seem just right. Well, the story of the woman at the well has all the makings of the same situation. So tonight, I'd like to be in the book of John, chapter 4, the woman at the well. But once again, my beloved, thank you for tuning in. For those of you who just tuned in, this is 99.5. Free Inside Ministry radio program. We're on from Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 10 p.m. at night. Want to give a shout out to Jack Waters and his crew down here at Salem Media, doing a wonderful job and just love working with them. Great crew. And a shout out to our sponsor, Mark Benson and his gang at Honolulu Ford. But you know, before we get into the story about the woman at the well, I wanted to share a little bit of the history or background information so that things might make just a little bit more sense to you, as it also did to me. It gave me a better reference point, gave me a better panorama of what's going on, or so to speak, or gave me a little bit more meat to chew on. So if you may, I'd like to share that with you. You see, at this time in history, the majority of the Jewish population were very racist toward the Samaritans and their society because of their religious practices and their ethnic descent. Many of the Jewish people saw the Samaritans as renegades. In fact, when the Jewish people had to go between Judea and Galilee during this first century, most of them would not even take the direct route, which would take them through Samaria. But instead, they take one big detour that goes around what they called the unclean region. So instead of going from point A to B, they went point A, but went boomerang all the way around and then get to point B. So they would avoid going to the area altogether. They just didn't want to have to deal with any of the headaches. But you see, it's interesting that the masses, the Jews, the traveling population, would not go through Samaria, but would go around it to still get where they wanted to go. You know, in life, we avoid a lot of situations because we don't want to deal with all the drama. We don't want to deal with all the headaches. We know nothing good will come out of it, so we just make a decision we're going to avoid it altogether. And if we avoid it, then it'll just go away, right? We know that doesn't resolve anything, but we usually agree if it's out of sight, it's kind of like out of mind, right? We don't have to deal with it because I'm not confronting it. So if it's out of the way, I don't have to deal with the Samaritan people. I'm going to go around the outside of their city limits just to get between Judea and Galilee. Human nature is like that. Many of us are non-confrontational. It's not worth the hassles. It's not worth the argument. It's not worth the time to get all nuts over something that probably is just going to make us go crazy. But let's take a look at Jesus. Jesus cuts right through the middle of the situation. Jesus doesn't avoid anything because he is Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is Yahweh, the great I am. He of all people know that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. I think I've heard that before. Quite interesting. And that is when we learn the lesson from the Master. You see, many times, my beloved, we look at the difficulty in the opportunity, but God sees the opportunity in the difficulty. I'll repeat that again so you can write it down. This would be under the category of a Bullaism. Many times we look at the difficulty in the opportunity, where God sees the opportunity in the difficulty. Now, this background explains why the Samaritan woman was surprised when Jesus asked her for a drink of water. You see, it's probably midday. It's pretty hot because no one else is around because of the heat. Then many of them would be taking a nap or a siesta at this time. But being that this woman had a history or a past, she wanted to avoid situations. She wanted to avoid running into people that might know her. She wanted to avoid running into conversations. She wanted to avoid being confronted with her past. So she would go to the well when it would be the least crowded, when it would be kind of empty, which is in the middle of the day, which is very, very hot. So no one would be out at that time. But she wanted to avoid those dilemmas. She wanted to avoid a situation. So she adjusted what she did to accommodate her to avoid things. Imagine that. I'm glad none of us live our lives like that. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to get to that later, my brothers and my sisters. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore saith unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now in the Jesus book, it says, Jesus, he go stay tired because he went walk a long way. These guys been going inside town for go buy lunch, and he sit down by the puka. Then, one wahini from that place came for get water. Jesus go tell her, you can give me some water for drink. The wahini from Samaria tell him, how come you ask me for a drink of water? You one Jew, and I one wahini from Samaria. You know the Jewish people don't like get nothing for do with the Samaritan people. This is the beginning of a great dialogue. This is the beginning of a great lesson. For a Jewish rabbi to accept a drink from a Samaritan woman, much less speak to her, would have been totally unthinkable. Sometimes we feel like that. We can feel the eyes of judgment upon us. We know that people are judging us. They're looking at us. We know ourselves, we have missed the mark. We know that we've made mistakes, that sometimes, you know, we might even consider ourselves failures. Why would anyone want to talk to us? Why would anyone, Brother Bula, come to see me in prison? Why would anyone come talk to me at OCCC? Who's going to make the effort to come see me in Halava? Why are they going to come down FDC on a Sunday afternoon? Who's going to spend time for come up to Wai'av on a Wednesday night? Who's going to come to OCCC on a Monday night? Who's going to come to WCCC on a Thursday evening when they could be home watching TV, spending time with their family? Who's going to come see me? Why would anyone want to come spend time with me when the rest of the world has turned their backs on me? I know that feeling, it's not a good feeling. But that's why we do the prison ministry. Because the Lord has put it upon our hearts to come and see those that are held captive. You deserve to hear the good news. You deserve to hear the gospel. Like I tell all my beloved that are incarcerated, the world got you where you're at. But the word can deliver you. A lot of my brothers and sisters, they kind of take a quizzical look. They look at me, you know, come on, I'm a jang eye a little bit. Huh? I said, that's right. The lies of the world have got you where you're at. The only thing that will truly, truly deliver you once and for all is the word of God and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So not surprisingly, the woman, she's kind of amazed and she talks to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and we'd have given thee living water. I like to use the Jesus book so the other 98% of us can understand this conversation, if you may. Jesus tell her, if you know what God like give everybody, and who me that stay ask you for the water, then you ask me for it, and I give you the kind water that make people live for real kind forever. See, sometimes, my beloved, we're so stuck on ourselves. We're so stuck on what our problem is. We're so stuck on the trial or the tribulation or the trouble that we're in. We can't even hear the Lord when he's talking to us because we're stuck on that song, "It's All About Me. Pity, pity, party, just for me. Pity, pity." You know how that goes. But you see, in this situation, look at how Jesus is interacting with the woman at the well. Now, this alone in itself is a miracle in the eyes of this woman because it shouldn't even be happening. But look how Jesus is interacting with her. He's not yelling at her. He's not condemning her. He's not berating her. He's not insulting her. He's talking with her so that she could get a grasp or she could understand what he is saying. And he's trying to be as patient as possible. If we look what happens in verses 11 through 15, she begins to take notice of Jesus and that he does not have what he needs to draw the water. So she tells him the well is deep, and he knows that. But it's amusing to see her trying to understand everything. And then she goes on to ask him, are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well? Now she's looking for a point of reference. She's asking Jesus pretty much, hey, who are you? We got this well from Jacob, and even he went drink from this well. Are you greater than Jacob? Let's look at it in the word of our Lord. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming to draw water. I like to share the Jesus book for those same verses, which would be found in John chapter 4. Now we're going to be in verse 11. She said, mister, you know more nothing for bring up the water. And you know the Pukovias, they're pretty deep. Where you going to get that kind of water that make people live for real kind forever? You're more better than our ancestor guy Jacob or what? He even give us this puka. Him, his kids, his cows, all the animals, they go drink the water from this puka. And Jesus tell her, whoever drink this water, Bombay, they going to come thirsty again. But whoever go drink the kind water I going to give him, they not going to ever come thirsty again. Because the kind water I give them going to come just like water that come more and more and more. Going to make them live to the max forever. The way he need to go tell him, mister, give me that kind water. Then I know going to come thirsty no more. And I no need come here for get water. Check it out. The lady, the woman of Samaria, she hears him, but she can't really understand him. The living waters for eternal life. But she's thinking of him in the physical sense and getting the drinking water from the well. That's so typical of us. Sometimes we want to put limits on God because we try to understand things from our point of reference. Or we try to make sense out of everything according to our mental capabilities. We try to understand why God does things in the way he does it, when he does it, where he does it, and why he does it. But the level of understanding is from our point of view or our perception. And that's where we get into trouble a lot of the times. Because unlike God, we can't see the whole picture. He's got a better view of the situation where he's at. So it's like in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. You know, it's just, How true are we really to ourselves, much less God? How true are we to God? See, Jesus, in the next few verses, tests the Samaritan woman. And he kind of throws a little curve out there because she doesn't know who he is. But he tests her by telling her to go and get her husband. Immediately, this is a good point, good factor on her point. Immediately, she replied she did not have a husband. Jesus' response convinces her that he is a prophet, if not the Messiah. He told her, go call your husband and come back. This is in verse 16. Verse 17, I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Verse 19, sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. In the Jesus book, in John chapter 4, verses 16, I like to put a little flavor on what we just had from the King James Version. Jesus tell her, go tell your husband for come and bring him over here. She say, I no more husband. Jesus say, that's right. You no more husband. Because you can get five husbands already. And the guy you get now, he not even your husband. You ain't tell the truth. The way he need go tell him, mister, now I know for sure you one talker for God. See, it's at that point she realizes that sometimes she has to listen to the Lord, but she's not really convinced yet. See, Jesus, he doesn't grow impatient with her. He's continually brings the focus back to himself as a source of living water and is the one who can truly share that living water. She goes on to say, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Imagine that. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. We'll throw a flavor on this from the Jesus book to make it a little bit more understandable. Us Samaria people, our ancestor guys, would go down and pray to God on top of this mountain over here. But you Jewish people, you guys say that everybody got to go to Jerusalem for go down and pray to God. He say, sister, trust me. I tell him the truth. The time going to come when you guys going to go down and pray to God our Father. But not going to be here on top of this mountain or inside Jerusalem. You guys from Samaria go down in front of somebody and pray. But you guys don't know who him. Us Jewish people, we go down in front of God and pray. And we know who him. Because God will show us Jewish people the one way for come out of the bad kind of stuff we stay in. Guarantee the time going to come and already stay here now. When the people that go down and pray to the Father for real kind, they're going to give them plenty of love and respect because they stay tight with God's Spirit. And they know how God stay for real. That's the kind of people the Father like forgive plenty of love and respect. God, he wants Spirit. So then the people that give him plenty of love and respect got to do them because they stay tight with God's Spirit because they know that God stay for real. The way he said, I know that the Messiah going to come, the Christ guy, the special guy, God going to send. When he come, he going to tell us everything. Jesus go tell her, I the guy, I the one that stay talking to you. Even up to this point, she doesn't realize who she is speaking with. She would allow Jesus to be a prophet, but would not understand that he is the Messiah she speaks of. That's how we live our lives. We know, or most of us know, that Jesus is going to come back to earth and we shall know him at that time. Our problem is we're not getting ready or preparing for his return. Kind of like when we keep coming and talking to everyone that's incarcerated, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and we ask if you're a believer and if you've given your life to God. That is why we do it, so that you have full knowledge of what is before you, so you won't end up like the lady at the well. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, one of our challenges is that we don't know how to get ready for what is already coming. And my prayer is that we do. But I wanted to close with something. It's called "I Am a Christian." I wanted you to hear this. When I say that I am a Christian, I'm not shouting that I'm clean living. I'm whispering, I was lost, but now I'm found and forgiven. I don't speak of this with pride. I'm confessing that I stumble and I need Christ to be my guide. I am not trying to be strong. I am professing I am weak and I need his strength to carry on. I am not bragging of success. I am admitting I have failed and I need God to clean up my mess. I am not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are too visible, but God believes I'm worth it. I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartaches, so I call upon his name. I am not holier than thou. I'm just a simple sinner who received God's grace somehow. As a Christian, we share in the blood of Christ, but we share in the victory. Ahuiho, my beloved. Tune in tomorrow night. We'll have something else to discuss. Bless you all. Get a great night's rest. God loves you.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.